All right, I'll go ahead with the second presentation. This is the 1020 presentation number 101-2. It's the determination of de-acclimation temperature and duration for creeping bentgrass and annual bluegrass. The authors are Lindsay Hoffman and Michelle DaCosta, both from the University of Massachusetts at Amherst. Lindsay Hoffman will be presenting. And again, she's presenting two presentations in this section. This one is for the judges as far as the student competition. The other one will not be a part of that.
Good morning. Thank you, Dr. Goss, for that introduction, and thank you all for your attention this morning. Today, I'll be presenting on a project that was conducted as part of my dissertation research at the University of Massachusetts Amherst. So as many of you know, creeping bentgrass is a widely utilized cool season turf grass species on golf courses. However, in the Northeast, encroachment of annual bluegrass into creeping bentgrass can be a major issue. And in some instances, annual bluegrass can make up a major component of turf on both fairways and golf greens. And so this is problematic because in comparison to creeping bentgrass, annual bluegrass can exhibit increased sensitivity to certain biotic and abiotic stresses, such as summer stress, anthracnose, or the annual bluegrass weevil. And so in particular, in the Northeast, winter injury of annual bluegrass is a problem. So this picture is illustrating a common situation faced by superintendents following a winter where you have differential survival between these two species. You see in this case on a fairway, you have survival of creeping bentgrass following the winter, and you have large-scale loss of turf, which is annual bluegrass. So this led us to asking the question as to why do these species differ in their winter injury potential? And so when you look at all of the factors that influence winter injury, it's been shown in other grasses that direct low temperature kill is a major causal agent. And so therefore, freezing tolerance is a major component of winter hardiness. And so the ability to maintain or withstand prolonged exposure to freezing temperatures is really dependent on two factors, the first of which is the ability to cold acclimate during the fall months. So the metabolic changes that occur during this period prior to the onset of winter allow plants to achieve their highest degree of freezing tolerance prior to the onset of winter, and that allows them to maintain or withstand prolonged exposure. The second part is the ability of these plants to maintain that level of freezing tolerance. So typically what you'll see is de-acclimation, which is a loss of freezing tolerance as plants come out of the winter and into the spring and resume growth. However, what can happen is that if you have a transient warming spell during the winter or early spring, this can trick the plant into thinking that it is spring and cause decreases of freezing tolerance. This will then be problematic if temperatures decrease below freezing again, because plants will then be predisposed to freezing injury. So a lot of research has focused on the aspects of acclimation, but there's still not a clear understanding on the factors associated with de-acclimation. So along with this, there's evidence that annual bluegrass and creeping bentgrass may differ in their capacity to resist de-acclimation. So this picture was taken following the winter of 2007, where there was a freeze-thaw event, and this resulted in survival of creeping bentgrass. You see here these green patches are creeping bentgrass, with the large-scale loss of turf being annual bluegrass. And so, again, this led us to asking whether the differences in winter injury potential between these two species are related to their de-acclimation sensitivity. So, therefore, our objective was to examine different temperature degrees as well as durations on the influence of freezing tolerance and growth of annual bluegrass and creeping bentgrass. So our plant materials consisted of one annual bluegrass ecotype that was obtained from Agriculture and Agri-Foods Canada. This ecotype had previously shown to have sensitivity to freezing injury. For comparison, we obtained one creeping bentgrass cultivar from the University of Massachusetts Amherst. These plants were propagated into a 200-cell tray, and they were allowed to establish in a greenhouse for 3 months under optimal temperature and light conditions. Following this establishment period, they were then moved to a controlled environment growth chamber. Once moved into the growth chambers, the plants were subjected to a six-week acclimation period, of which consisted of three different temperature regimes, the first of which was a 20 degrees Celsius non-cold acclimating temperature, followed by exposure to 2 degrees Celsius for 2 weeks to induce cold acclimation, and then lastly exposed to minus 2 degrees Celsius, a sub-zero acclimation period for 2 weeks. Once plants had completed that six-week acclimation period, they were exposed to different deacclimation treatments, which consisted of three different temperatures, 4, 8, and 12 degrees Celsius, along with two different deacclimation durations, 1 and 5 day. So in total, this resulted in a combination of 6 deacclimation treatments. And so these temperatures and durations were chosen really to explore the extreme of what could happen in a field situation during winter or early spring. So, for example, you could have a moderate increase in temperature exhibited as, for example, 4 degrees Celsius for 1 day, or it could, one of the extreme examples would be 12 degrees Celsius for 5 days. So this really allows us to explore any sort of option for a freeze-thaw event that may occur. And these deacclimation treatments were conducted in a growth chamber with an 8-hour photo period and a photosynthetic flux density of 100. So during deacclimation as well as acclimation, freezing tolerance was determined by freeze tests, where plants were exposed to temperatures ranging from plus 6 degrees Celsius to minus 21 degrees Celsius. Once plants had been put through these freeze tests, they were allowed to recover in a greenhouse for 4 months, and then survival was rated on those plants. Those survival ratings were then used to determine the lethal temperature at which 50% of the plants were killed. So in order to have a baseline or a reference point to see or determine whether freezing tolerance changed in response to these treatments, we established baseline LT50 values for the various acclimation temperatures. So initially, we established a freezing tolerance for plants acclimated to that non-cold acclimating temperature of 20 degrees Celsius. We then acclimated plants to 20 degrees for 2 weeks and 2 degrees for 2 weeks and determined freezing tolerance. And finally, we put the plants through that entire six-week acclimation period and determined freezing tolerance after minus 2 degrees Celsius. And this minus 2 degrees Celsius serves as our baseline value for comparing freezing tolerance during deacclimation. In addition to measuring freezing tolerance, we also measured total shoot growth during deacclimation. This allowed us, or would allow us, if we detected any differences in freezing tolerance, to account for those differences possibly by the plants resuming growth. This was conducted or accomplished by measuring plant height prior to putting plants through minus 2 degrees Celsius, and then measuring shoot growth following the deacclimation treatment. In addition, we also measured soil temperature or monitored soil temperature throughout the deacclimation and acclimation phases in order to make sure that we reached our targeted temperatures. This study was arranged as a split plot design with 4 replicates per treatment. The experiment was repeated, and analysis on the two experiments indicated that there were no difference between the two experimental runs, so the data was pooled, and I'll be presenting on those averages. All data then were subjected to analysis of variance, and means were separated using Fisher's least significant difference test. So now moving into the results and discussion. I'll just take a minute here to set up this graph. This graph is illustrating the differences in freezing tolerance during the acclimation period. So you'll notice on the x-axis you have the different temperatures, the 20 degrees Celsius non-cold acclimating temperature, 2 degrees Celsius, and the minus 2 degrees Celsius sub-zero acclimation temperature. On the y-axis, you have the LT50 values in degrees Celsius. So initially, we saw that annual bluegrass actually had better freezing tolerance compared to creeping bentgrass. However, as we progressed through those cold acclimation treatments, we saw that creeping bentgrass was able to attain a better degree of freezing tolerance compared to annual bluegrass. And this trend was also seen at minus 2 degrees Celsius. Also, overall, we saw that this sub-zero acclimation period resulted in the greatest freezing tolerance for both species. So when analyzing the deacclimation data, we saw that all main effects were significant. In addition, there were significant two-way interactions, and also we saw a three-way interaction between species, temperature, and duration. So therefore, I'll be presenting the data according to this analysis. So again, just to take a minute here to set up this table, these LT50 values now will be representing freezing tolerance during deacclimation. At the top, you have the two species, annual bluegrass and creeping bentgrass. This minus 2 degrees Celsius value, again, is the baseline LT50 value we use for comparison after deacclimation. You also have the durations of 1 and 5 day and the three deacclimation temperatures of 4, 8, and 12 degrees Celsius. So now, comparing within annual bluegrass, you'll notice there are two letters. The lowercase letter is comparing within temperature, and the uppercase letter is comparing across duration. So initially, looking at temperature effects, we saw that exposure to 4, 8, and 12 degrees Celsius resulted in significant decreases in freezing tolerance. And so, except for exposure at 8 or 12 here, where you see no change in freezing tolerance. Also, you'll see that duration had a significant effect on freezing tolerance, where decreases were detected when plants were exposed to 5 days versus 1 day. Similarly, we saw a response in creeping bentgrass, where you see a decrease initially of freezing tolerance upon exposure to these deacclimation treatments. The most important thing to note here, however, is if you see for 1 day, 4 and 8 degrees Celsius, there was a significant decrease for creeping bentgrass. So you do see that it does lose freezing tolerance. However, you notice that creeping bentgrass did not change in response to this 8 degrees Celsius temperature treatment for 1 day exposure. So on all, this is illustrating that annual bluegrass has increased sensitivity to these increases in temperature compared to creeping bentgrass. So just to illustrate the amount of freezing tolerance that is lost, this table again is set up similarly. However, here we're actually just looking at the loss of freezing tolerance by annual bluegrass versus creeping bentgrass. So if you'd like to focus here, for example, at 4 degrees Celsius for 1 day, you see annual bluegrass lost approximately 4 degrees in freezing tolerance. However, compared to creeping bentgrass, you see it's a loss of approximately 2 degrees. So overall, again, we're seeing that annual bluegrass is deacclimating to a greater extent. Again, one of the parameters we measured was total shoot growth. Species responded the same to this measurement, so we are presenting this data based on temperature and duration. Overall, we're seeing that these combinations resulted in an increase in shoot growth, and more importantly, we see that this 1 day 4 degrees Celsius treatment resulted in lower growth than the 12 degrees Celsius. So, just to summarize, we saw that the minus 2 degrees Celsius acclimation period did result in the greatest freezing tolerance for both species. However, exposing the plants to even just 4 degrees Celsius for 1 day resulted in deacclimation for both species. However, we did see that annual bluegrass exhibited a greater degree of deacclimation compared to creeping bentgrass. And overall, we saw that the species responded the same to temperature and duration in regards to total shoot growth. So this is indicating that there must be other changes in the plant that could be accounting for these changes in freezing tolerance that we're detecting. So in conclusion, annual bluegrass and creeping bentgrass do differ in their deacclimation capacity, and this may be accounting for differences in winter injury potential detected between these two species. This research will then lead to future work that will allow us to examine deacclimation sensitivity of other annual bluegrass ecotypes, as well as identifying some of those early metabolic changes that could be happening in the plant. And ultimately, we can utilize this information to improve the winter survival of annual bluegrass, but also of other cool season turf grass species. So with that, I would like to thank those who participated and were influential on this research, and I would also like to thank funding which came from the New England Regional Turfgrass Foundation and the United States Golf Association. Thank you, and at this point, I'll take any questions.
We have time for a couple questions.
Yes. So the question was, what was the reasoning for using different light treatments during the varying acclimation periods? So I'm assuming you're referring to the acclimation periods where you have the 300 PPFD. So that was maintained at 20 and 2 degrees Celsius. We did sub-zero acclimate the plants with no light. which has been shown before to induce acclimation. And then we kept the light level low during our deacclimation treatment because we didn't want to induce any further injury. We weren't sure on the effects of higher light levels. So that's something that in the future that needs to be explored, both higher light levels and maybe no light level as well.
Thank you.